United States Eventing Association's official podcast. Hello, I'm Chris Stafford, and joining me this week to discuss the differences in winter training between Aiken, North Carolina and Ocala, Florida, are Sharon White and Boyd Martin.
How are you, Chris? Thanks for having me on the podcast today.
And in the south here in Ocala, Florida, is Sharon White. Sharon, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having us on, Chris.
Let's start with you, Sharon. Why are you coming down to Ocala, Florida? What is it that attracts you down here to train?
The weather. I wish I had something better or more sophisticated to say, but I have been to both Aiken and to Ocala, and I enjoy them both immensely, and there's just fabulous people in both places and fabulous facilities, and Ocala is warmer.
Now, where are you based?
It's warmer, and I'm at Buck Davidson Farm at Buck, so I have, we have a good friendship, and it's fun to train together every day, and so it's really, there's a lot going on here, and it's quite fun.
Well, Boyd, you've been going to Aiken for a while, but the weather has been better further south you go this winter. So why do you choose Aiken?
Well, I'd have to agree with Sharon. I think if you're looking for slightly warmer temperatures and a better suntan, I think Ocala is definitely the place to go. I've never been to Ocala to train, so I can't speak too much for that. And Aiken, I've been coming to Aiken for probably since I've been coming to America. So I think this is my sixth season down here, and I like it a lot. I think it's got a lot to offer, and the first and foremost is for the Yankees, like the New Yorkers and Pennsylvanians and Maryland people and Virginians. It's a lot closer. So you can get here in sort of 12 hours from Unionville, Pennsylvania, and even closer, obviously, from Virginia. So a lot of the amateurs, I think, prefer Aiken in the sense that they can get down, do an event over, a weekend event, and then maybe a Wednesday event, and then be back without sort of 2 days travel. So that's probably, one of the attractions in the location. Secondly, I think it's got a wonderful selection of rinky-dink events. There's three events a week in Aiken. So today there was a horse trial at Full Gallop, and last weekend there was a horse trial at Pine Top, and next weekend there's a horse trial at Sporting Day. So I think there's a lot more little events to go. So if you're, for your young event horses, you can taken to lots of different venues where so that's the one plus. I think one of the big things, I suppose, from a professional's point of view is the town of Aiken, I think, very, very owner attractive. It's got a very, very historic part of town. It's got lovely restaurants and bars. It's got a real fox hunting culture with Hitchcock Woods. And I think for a lot of the top-level riders, it's a great place to entertain your sponsors and owners and visitors and whatnot, just because there's so much more to do in Aiken other than the horse trial. So I find it's worked well for me over the years. And I'm very lucky. I rent a farm in Bridal Creek and next door to some other expats in Ryan Wood and Philip Dutton. So it's a good little spot.
And Sharon, there are not as many events in Ocala during the winter. So how do you get around that?
Yeah, it is interesting. There's so many places to school in Ocala. Like, you've got Longwood, which is amazing. And there's just so, there are so many different places to go. You've got HITS right there. So you can go show jump. Lots of people have cross country courses that you can go to. So I don't feel like the Aiken events are fabulous for the young horses and everything, but I do feel in Ocala you can get the same experience for what you need. You know, I don't think there's a lack of things to do, because there's always a schooling show somewhere. There's always somewhere to go if you want. And for the bigger horses, you can go and, you know, jump some bigger classes at HITS. And I do find it interesting, because I think Boyd and a lot of people use Aiken's Beautiful, and you can get a lot done. It's really good for clientele, and clientele can come. And for me, my trip south is I'm more selfish. It's more about me, and I don't bring a lot of clientele with me. I bring, you know, sort of my best horses. I usually go down to Wellington and then come up to Ocala. And I kind of consider it me time, and which I don't get a lot of the rest of the year. And I think that's very different for a lot of other professionals. I mean, this is their time of year.
How many
horses?
Like,
I think a lot of friends have. Sorry?
How many horses do you have with you in Ocala then, Sharon?
I have 9.
Okay, and how many of those would be owned by other people that would be coming down, or clients?
Well, they're all owned by other people, but they're all horses basically for me. I have one student's horse here, so the owners come down, etc., but I'm not trying to... they're not students that need to go and, you know, they're not horses that need to go and do lots of schooling or whatnot. They're, you know, they're basically for... just, you know, they're my upper level horses, and you know, there's less pressure for me to not have all of my students, etc., down here with me. And the rest of the year is more like that. Is that more time for everybody else? Because I don't have a lot of students that come with me, and I think that's probably very different for Boyd.
Yeah, I mean, eventing, I think, for myself anyway, sort of geared around, riding, like Sharon, riding owner's horses and trying to improve yourself and stuff like that. And I couldn't agree more with Sharon. There's a time where you've got to be very, very focused on your own performance and your own training, and then, you know, then there's other times where you've got to, you know, make sure... You're doing a good job to your supporters and stuff like that. So,
how many horses do you have, though, Boyd? How many horses have you got in work?
I wouldn't know off the top of my head. I mean, I've got a pretty full barn. I've got Caitlin Silliman working for me, and a couple of younger people. I think I've got 6 or 7 staff, and we got a lot of young horses, and then probably 6 or 7 upper level horses, and I think, to be quite honest, Chris, I think it's great that America has 2 winter locations. I think the world would be a very boring place if we all went to the one spot. I think it's a healthy thing to have competitive winter locations, because if there was only one, then I think the events could get a little bit blasé, where I think there's certainly a bit of competitiveness with the facilities and competitions in Ocala and Aiken, which I think is healthy. You know, like I think if Ocala puts on bigger and better events, the Aiken events will try a bit harder, because they'd be worried about losing some of their events and vice versa and things like that. So.
But one of the most important things, obviously, apart from the weather, is the footing, Boyd. Talk about the footing that you have up there. Obviously, it's a bit sandy down here. We've got, you know, completely sand, and it's, you know, even if we have a lot of rain, it soaks in very quickly.
I think the footing's pretty similar. I mean, I've been to Ocala just once. I went to, when I was riding Rock on Rose, I rode at Rocking Horse and went to Bruce Davidson's farm, and last year I went down there to Scotty Keach's farm, and I got to say, I think the Perth's pretty much the same. I think Aiken was originally a destination for all the racehorses, and it was picked a little bit like Ocala for the good footing, and when it rains and pours, the footing almost gets better. So I think the footing pretty much should be on par with each other. I didn't notice any difference between the footings.
Sharon, what about you?
I agree with that. I agree with that, having been in both places. I think the footing is very similar. Like, it's good in both places. That's why I think there's probably a lot of people in both places, because they offer, the point is that you can keep going in the winter. So it's because at home, certainly in Pennsylvania and in West Virginia where I am, you're stuck in the indoor.
So when do you come down south then, Sharon? What's your plan, and how long are you here?
I usually come down, like this year, I came down sort of right after the first of the year, and I always go home with what was Southern Pines and is now Carolina International, mid-March.
Now, what about you, Boyd? What's your plan?
Yeah, I'm pretty spot on the same time as Sharon, so it's an interesting dynamic, actually. You get down here and you're excited to be here, and all your staff and students are all, pumped up, and then by about now everyone's getting a bit sick of living on top of each other, and you're starting to dream about your own time and your own bed, and then the next couple of weeks everyone will start squabbling, and by the time you head home you can't wait to get to home. So there's the old saying is you can't wait to get down here, and you can't wait to get out of here. So
I totally agree with that.
Well, give us an idea in terms of the fitness program. When your horses get down here at the beginning of the year, for both of you, you're coming south right at the beginning of the year, how long a break would they have had from the full season, and what work would they have done before they get here, generally speaking? Boyd?
I've gone away from giving them too long of a break, so I only give them 2 weeks off after their full three-day event. And December's bloody miserable in Pennsylvania, especially this year, like it was cold and a bit of snow. And so we hunted the horses a little bit, and then when the weather gets really bad, we're sort of stuck to jogging on the roads. And and then if it gets really bad, then we have to ship or ride to indoor arenas. And then we do a lot of the long stuff in Pennsylvania. Then you spend like January doing a lot of the long, slow trots and the long, slow canters. And then about now, last week or two, we started to go a little bit quicker and faster and up the ante with their fitness work, and sort of just trying to gently build them up and get them into peak fitness, running into the CIC events and then into the CCIs in next month or whatever.
And Sharon, what about you? What will your horses have done before you get down here?
Similar to Boyd, they have, I give them a couple weeks off, but then I think that they do better with not too much time off, because they're used to a lot of attention and care, and I think checking them out for too long, I just don't think they like it that much. And so mine, before they come down, will have done some easy, three-minute canters or something, and possibly in the indoor, depending the weather at home. But they have a bit of a base on them. So then when they get here, I feel free to start doing what I want to do.
So let's look at the season ahead then. We obviously have had a few events to get you all underway, but talk about what horses you have coming into the start of the serious spring season, Boyd.
I'm looking pretty good, actually. I'm well stocked at the moment. I've got four-star horses that are gearing up, which look pretty good. I've got Trading Aces, Sir Donovan, Shamwari and Otis that are all in four-star preparation at the moment. And then behind that, I've got a couple of three-star horses in Pancho Villa, Master Frisky and Crackerjack that are all humming along. And then behind that, we've got a really, really good group of young horses. So I've got great expectations and plans, which I'm sure will change with as they always do every year, but at the moment I'm very, very excited. I think I've got the strongest group of horses that I've had in a while.
Now, what about your plans then from here to Rolex? Presumably, can you ride four horses though at Rolex now?
Nah, you can, yeah. I might take one to Bamington or Lemoore and one or the other,
right.
Something like that. But first things first, I don't really worry about that too much at the moment, because I'd wait for a couple more weeks and make sure they're all in one piece and then start aiming them up for a show.
Now, what are your stepping stones, though, to Rolex or to the first
Horsestone? I'm going to do it a bit different. I usually do Southern Pines and then the Fork and then into Rolex, but this year I think I'm going to try my luck down at Redhurst and then I'll probably send those four-star horses back to Pennsylvania a little bit earlier so they can start utilising the hills if the weather's all right. I'll send them back with Caitlin and Phil will be back by then, so I'll probably do that. But just going back to Aiken and Ocala, one of the challenges I think in Aiken is the gallops aren't there's plenty of hills and stuff around, but there's not really, really good gallops down here, it's a little bit of a struggle or a challenge getting them super duper fit down here. So that would be something that that I think Aiken could improve on down the track.
And Sharon, what horses do you have, and where will they be going for the start of the spring season?
Well, like the bull, I'm really excited about my horses right now, and then I feel sick to my stomach that it all works out the way it should. but I have two Wonder Mask and Rafferty's Rules aimed at Rolex, and a new mare that I got last year under Suspection. We either did the 3-star at Jersey or Bromont, and then some fabulous younger horses coming along. So I'm really excited about the horses I'm sitting on right now. I feel like I'm sitting on the best horses I have ever sat on in my life, and it's a really nice feeling. But fingers crossed, toes crossed, knock on everything, that they stay healthy and sound.
So what would be the key events for them then leading up to Rolex?
They will do the Carolina International and the Fork and then Rolex.
Right. Okay. Well, busy spring season ahead for both of you, and hopefully the weather will hold up whether you're in Aiken or Ocala and the footing continues to be good. And you'll all do battle when it comes to Rolex. So I wish you both the very best of luck for the season, and thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks a lot, Chris.
Thanks so much, Chris.
And don't forget to check the website at useventing.com for the full calendar of spring events, as well as other events and activities organised by the USEA. These podcasts are also available on iTunes to download to your smartphone, as well as on the website at useventing.com or at usea.podbean.com. Until the next time, enjoy your eventing.